Hunter's Moon, written by Steve Gallagher. Episode 4. The first photograph of the Earth from space offered a new perspective on our home planet. Taken from an Apollo spacecraft, it showed a fragile and delicate globe, self-contained and limited, a delicately balanced organism which was a subsidiary particle in a much wider universe. Of course, many people were too stupid to be affected. Give such people control over your society, and they will regulate and administer it for you. They will build systems so vast that they take priority over the people they supposedly serve. They will hand out numbers like favors so that you can fit into their systems, march through them smoothly and without trouble. They will plan your life so that you can march through it smoothly and without trouble. You can fade away altogether, but the numbers will still march on. You will jump the small hurdles at the allotted times of your life, discouraged and deflected from any other course by the immense difficulties put in your way if you try to stand outside the system. These are the people of limited perspective, mundane, gray little men and women who deal with what they call, with a faint superior smile, realities. Their realities are no more than the momentary images of a changing society. Images that they try to fix through study and analysis, by terminology and those inevitable numbers that can be used to create an illusion of pattern. They are the builders of central command, and, unfortunate and self-satisfied creatures that they are also its victims. Planetary perspective is what the city had lacked for too long. With every pull on the chain, the citizens' heads had been dragged nearer to the ground, and they had thanked Central profusely for its efforts. But now Central was gone, attacked by Mitchell and finished off by Randall, and it seemed that something better lay ahead. There were promises, democracy, a promise of a widened outlook which would lead to the resumption of the space trade, and Marius and his new gray men were moving in, looking for new methods of control. Randall was the first to go, drugged and bundled off to the Ice Palace, where he could do no further harm. He was a failure. He had dared to raise his head. Now Kaloran, angry and offended, had been sent the same way. The exiles of the Ice Palace told him that Randall was dead, frozen out on the ice pack along with Lobo during the last bad storm. Kaloran accepted the loss, but not his own imprisonment. And his enthusiasm spread, even to hardened types like Bulstrode and Berg, who dominated the group. Randall was, in fact, very much alive, but it didn't seem likely he'd remain that way for long. He and Lobo had been unwilling stowaways on the shuttle spacecraft which lifted prisoners in secret to the off-worlder ship, there to be copied for troops in the invasion force, and then killed. First and least successful of the copies had been a vastly imperfect Mitchell, a reflection of the preoccupations of Central Command at the time of scanning. He was a nothing, lowest of all the simulacra, while Balaam was the highest. With a level of emotion that was never allowed to raise above a mild enthusiasm for human destruction, she was the off-worlder's proudest creation. She was something the gray man might admire.
You all right, Randall?
Only my pride's bruised. You were right, Lobo. They herded us like animals, and we weren't even aware of it.
They think we are animals. Look at it from their point of view, and it's true.
You're paying them too much compliment. Remember, they're machines designed and crafted for a purpose.
And they're good.
Oh, yes, they're damn good. I was expecting something along the lines of a barely improved Mitchell model. They even looked real.
I recognized one of them.
From the palace?
He was lost on the ice some months ago. They must have brought him here and patterned him and then...
Let loose in the corridors to be herded and killed. Probably hunted down by his own improved double. Now the city hasn't got a chance against them. They'll move in and take over before that ragbag of a council knows anything.
It's worse than that, because the council's helping. What did they offer Marius to make him sell out?
What does it matter? He'll never collect. They're asset strippers. Once they've pulled what they need out of the city, they'll throw him to one side and move on.
Marius won't see it. He's got a grabber's mind, but a short reach. Morton surprises me, though. I thought he wasn't such a fool.
They're just names to me. Always at the other end of cold trails and distorted rumor. What did I start, Lobo?
What's this, Randall? You starting to have doubts?
You think I don't have them?
What does it matter?
Nothing! If we lie down and let them kick us around until they feel like releasing us to be humiliated in the corridors again, only next time we won't be rounded up and dragged back to sit in a guarded cell. Oh, no, they'll kill us on the spot for practice.
No, we need a good idea to get us out. Have you got anything to offer?
I need time to think.
We may not have any.
Don't remind me. What do we know?
Only what Mitchell, the simulacrum, told us.
Which is all about their long-term intentions, but nothing about them.
He's never even seen one of them.
Right. Point one. We've covered over a mile of corridor and didn't see anything to suggest that this ship is even inhabited. It doesn't even look as if it's being cleaned or maintained.
Yeah. It could be they've set this whole area aside for training.
Well, yes, that's a possibility. So, we're in an isolated sector of a much larger construction. Elsewhere, there's a complete and self-sufficient race, working to expand and with major computing facilities to do it. If this is a ship, it's also got to have power and propulsion.
All this is great theory, but what's it going to do for us?
We can't make a plan without reviewing the information.
Oh, another goddamn plan. Look where your last one got us. What information? You're making it up as you go along.
You've a better idea.
Look, we concentrate on getting out of this cell and back to the shuttle.
Why the shuttle?
Because we can't do anything on our own, so we go back to the city and warn them.
Wrong! We get dropped back on the ice cap with no power in our suit units. We wouldn't even make it back to the palace. And if we could, what then?
Yeah. Looks like we've got no choice. We're going to have to be heroes.
You never know. It might even work. At the very best, we'll go out in a blaze of self-esteem.
Oh, I don't aim to plan for suicide.
Nor do I. If there's one thing guaranteed to keep us sharp, it's the prospect of survival.
I can hear somebody coming.
Well, not for us, I hope.
It could be. They won't keep us here forever.
Ask the guard.
You ask him.
All right, I will.
What do you want?
I want to ask you something.
What makes you think I'm authorized to answer questions?
Don't you even want to hear it first?
I don't see that it's relevant.
What's the matter? Did they miss the brain out when they assembled you?
Up yours, bloodbag.
That's the Ice Palace talking. I remember you, Pearson, when you were a man.
When I was a bloodbag? Pearson's dead. I strangled him myself out in the tin jungle. Don't get any ideas on teasing sympathy out of me, Lobo. If they say you're good enough, you'll be patterned and rebuilt and then be fit to join us. Until then, you're just a blood bag for stamping on.
Come on, Pearson. So, they built you and they gave you your orders. Admit, did you still one of us inside?
One of you? Don't make me laugh. I could break you with one hand. I'm faster and I'm stronger and I'm never going to die. Beat that.
If you've got so much going for you, what's the harm in answering a question and making a bloodbag happy?
Because I've got so much going for me, where's the point? You're not my kind, Randall. I'll do nothing for you.
Ready-made fanatic, that's one hell of a weapon.
Makes you go cold inside. If I didn't know better, I'd swear that's the man I knew. I can't say I'm taken with the idea of looking up into my own eyes as I'm being strangled.
Concentrate on the problem in hand. We've seen the guard, and we know his idea of his own capabilities. Now, how accurate is it?
We fought Mitchell. He beat us, and he isn't so advanced.
But we weren't in any way prepared for him. If we're going to fight Pearson, we've got to think in terms of balance, leverage, not strength. Now, what we'll have to do is this. We'll have to...
Open the shuttle doors. Where's Mitchell?
Here, Balaam.
You shouldn't be here. You should be running the dropway into place for the councillors.
Sorry, Balaam.
Please descend, councillors. We have chambers and refreshments prepared for you if you would care to come with me.
You see, Morton, they want us to feel at home. We're allies.
Let us never be considered anything else, Marius, but partners in strength and enterprise.
Fine sentiments and well expressed.
Can somebody help me down the ramp?
You remember I told you Valen, the counselor's blind.
Mitchell, assist the counselor.
It's only until I can get my bearings. I seem to be pulled downwards and sideways at the same time.
Our gravity is an illusion. I hope he'll become used to it.
He will, don't worry.
Our greatest wish is for the service and comfort of our allies.
Will you take my hand, Morden?
Thank you.
Let me lead you down.
We furnished your chambers as you requested, Marius. I hope you approve of the style.
I'm sure I will. How is the plan proceeding?
Well, the final model of the simulacrum is undergoing tests at this very moment. When the results are known, we'll be ready to move.
What, into production?
No, directly into takeover. We have sufficient models available now for our ground forces. We're only waiting for the development of the ground commander.
Will we see these tests?
I hope not. They might be dangerous for any non-mechanicals present. You're far too valuable to us to risk, Counselor.
I'm but a humble businessman, Valen, struggling to grasp the awesome complexities of power and to milk a little comfort from them as I go.
You'll have time to settle before the debriefing begins. There's an escort waiting for you. Mitchell, stay with the counselor and guide him. Screw this one up and I'll have your head.
Yes, Valen.
Until later, then.
How do you manage it, Valen?
Manage what?
You know what I'm talking about.
You mean treat the blood bags as equals? Don't think it's easy. I'll smile for as long as I have to, until we've got the information we need. Then I'll take the greatest pleasure in twisting their flimsy necks.
Makes me sick to look at them, bladders of jelly and bone.
Don't let it show. At the moment, we need information on their social setup that only they can provide. When we've got that...
Set them loose in the tin jungle?
Perhaps. Or else flush them out into vacuum and watch them explode. A lesson to us all on the frailty of the lower order.
Do we need any such lesson?
Some of the simulacra have been known to show a morbid sympathy for their origins. It does them no credit. Evolution is the only counter to the slow disintegration of the universe. Evolve and never look back.
Excuse me, Valen. I've cleared the dock area as you ordered.
Wait until we're out and then seal it. The shuttle won't be used again.
What about the counselors?
They won't be going back.
These rooms were prepared for you, Morden. They had no indication of what you'd like, so it's in no particular style.
It hardly matters to me. Did the woman call you Mitchell?
It's my name.
Your voice is familiar. I never forget a voice.
You won't have forgotten mine. You've never heard it.
Marius has told me what you are. Copies. Robots.
Not robots. Anything but that.
Oh, why so sensitive? Does it matter so much to you?
Copies, I accept. It hurts, but at least I understand why it hurts. But I'm not a robot. I'm patterned on a man, and I've got some of his memories. I think the way he'd think, and I've got some of his feelings.
Then I knew the man you were. I respected him.
Randall knew the man I was as well.
Did you say Randall?
From the Ice Palace. They're holding him for patterning now.
How long has he been here?
A few days. Two of them stowed away on the shuttle and persuaded me to help them.
How could they persuade you?
Didn't you get the message from Valen? Anybody can make a fool of Mitchell. He's simple and he's credulous. I can't help it. What's Randall to you?
Tell me something. How strong are your loyalties to the Weck? To your own kind.
Are you testing me? Please don't trick me. I don't know how to lie.
I'm not trying to trick you.
I don't even have the guile to evade answering. Valen's right. I am a poor specimen.
And a talkative one. Answer the question.
Towards the Weck. I'm not aware of any. I've never seen one, and they've never offered me anything. As for the simulacra, I suppose I'm loyal. I do what they tell me, and they use my name, so I'm somebody. To everyone else, I'm a half-finished monster.
A monster? Why?
You can't see me. I'm the first simulacrum they ever built, and the only model they had was in the memory of a computer. What do you think I look like?
To me, what does it matter?
What is this? What are you trying to do?
I'll tell you the truth, Mitchell. I'll tell you the truth because of the man you once were, and for the humanity you've retained. I'll tell you because I need you.
Nobody needs me. Valen says so.
Valen is wrong. When she speaks, I hear the true monster. A being without pity.
They say she's considered the most successful piece of design so far.
By what measure of success? Because she's colder, harder, stronger.
All of that.
They praise her because in spirit she's the furthest from the human concept they've been able to devise. They despise you because you're the closest.
They despise me because I'm nothing.
By their standards, perhaps. Standards which would rape worlds and trample the weak.
Men's standards. I got exactly the same treatment from Randall.
Oh, don't take Randall as your model for a man. In many ways, he's as much an engineered product as Valen. Biology rigged for the service of the state.
The other one, Lobo, he was kinder. I think he understood.
Now, of course he understood. He understood your self-doubt, your weakness, your hope.
And that's all there is to me. Oh, no wonder they spit on me.
I said I need you. I want you to be my eyes and my guide.
And that already. Valen ordered me to be.
She didn't order you to help me ruin the takeover plan.
What?
See, I'm trusting you. I consider you a man. Would the machines do as much?
Never. They say I'm too...
Too human?
Unreliable, ineffective.
By machine standards.
Weak and sloppy, like a blood bag. That's what they call you.
The same contempt they reserve for you. Join me and be my eyes.
I was supposed to have joined Randall, but as soon as he'd gone, I found I was taking orders from Valen again.
You have to believe in yourself before you can choose a path and have the faith to stick to it. Randall traded you for a name. So cheap a contract costs you nothing to break.
But I'm not a man. I was built.
Oh, so were we all. It's the oldest piece of engineering in the history of the race.
Of your race, not the WEC.
And how much careful control did the WEC put into your conception? Damn all. And they weren't satisfied with the result, so they threw you aside. Too much of a human being was showing through.
All right, Morden. I'll serve you.
No, not serve me. Help me.
How?
Information, and then action. And we'll need Randall.
If it isn't too late. He's down for patterning.
It won't be too late. Leave that to me. How much can you find out about this ship and the WEC without arousing suspicion?
It depends. I could try to get access to the shuttle computer.
How far will that help?
I don't know until I've tried. They found the shuttle empty and in orbit, and they stripped it out and fitted their own guidance systems. If they're linked into the main ship memories, I might be able to tap the information out.
Do it then, and I'll try to find out what they've done with Randall. I only hope he hasn't tried anything rash.
Any more bright ideas?
I'm sorry. How was I to know he'd react like that?
Well, I suppose it always works in stories.
Of course it does. You call the guard and tell him you're ill, and he rushes in full of concern to bend over you. And you bop him from behind and dance off to fresh air and freedom.
Yeah, fine. But I didn't read much concern into Pearson's expressions when he came towards me. More like evil glee at the prospect of being allowed to finish me off.
Makes sense. I should have realized that if we show ourselves as unfit for patterning, then we lose whatever value we've got to them.
Oh, all of a sudden I feel unbearably healthy.
There must be another way.
We've got one door, no windows. A couple of stripped out bunks, looking like cold storage chambers and too small for either of us. The locks on the entrance seem to be keyed to Pearson's handprint.
So, we have to go out by that door, and we can't do that unless Pearson lets us out.
What chance of that?
We can't trick him or persuade him, because he hasn't got the slightest interest in anything we have to say.
He really warms up at the thought of tearing one of us apart.
That's what we'll have to use against him. Eh? Fill his mind with the prospect of mangling a blood bag, and then hit him when he's off guard.
With what? He's stronger than both of us put together. We've no weapons.
We're wearing them.
Eh?
The snowsuits. Have you ever tried to tear the fabric on one?
Well, don't be a fool. There was no way to repair or replace them.
Exactly. The supply was limited and they were handed down from prisoner to prisoner. They're as old as the palace itself, and they were part of the original equipment. They're spacesuits.
Well, how does that make them into weapons?
The fabric was made deliberately strong to avoid the possibility of a rupture or tear in vacuum. Now, if we knot the sleeves into a band and drop that over Pearson's head, we can pin his arms to his sides.
Yeah, but the suits are old. How do you know they'll take the strain?
How do you know they won't?
So, we got him trussed up on the floor. What then?
He's a machine, and machines can be broken. Two of us should be able to do it.
I wouldn't be so confident. With that kind of logic, you could wrestle bulldozers and expect to win.
Have you any better ideas? Or are you going to pick holes in mine until they come and carry us both away?
No, to both questions. Let's get on with it. The less I think, the fewer flaws I see.
Right. Hey, Pearson! Pearson, get your tin backside in here.
You'd have to have a good reason to call me like that, bloodbag. Offhand, I can't think of anything good enough.
I don't need to explain anything to you, junkhead.
Damn right you don't. I've got all the reason I need to pull your head off and stuff it down your throat.
Oh, brave talk from a greasy oil bag. All crude oil and low-grade alloys.
Say that again.
Oil bag. A clockwork brain and a scrap iron heart. Blood like a dead lake.
Thanks, Randall. I'm going to enjoy this. No, Lobo!
What the...
I've got a gold spin!
Hey, Lobo!
You sit and wait against you!
Oh, fail!
Get some of the fabric into his mouth!
God, he's trying to bite me fingers!
Be careful! Leave it from here! Come on!
Silent. Now what do we do?
Over to that bucket. Cop him against it and try to find a weak point.
Well, hold him on the bunk. He's heavy.
That's the head right. Leverage.
Watch out for his legs. I couldn't hold him.
You all right? Come on. Good job he couldn't see the way with the kneecap.
The knots, they're slipping.
Everything you've got. Now!
Phew. I don't believe it. I think we did it.
I lived for a week.
If we live so long. What are we going to do now?
The counselors. They're somewhere aboard. We know that much from when we heard them going down our corridor with Valen. Now, we can't hope to fight the simulacra, but with a hostage, we might have a chance to reach the alien areas of this ship.
Farther and farther in, and not a damn clue as to what we're going to do when we get there.
We have to go on because we can't go back. At least we can try to pick up some insurance on the way. Another advantage is that Valen won't know we're on the loose for a while.
Yeah. We can use Pearson's hand to open the door.
Right.
I'll need help to lift him.
Come on.
So, we've arrived. How much longer are we going
to
wait?
I want to be sure that Marius is alone.
Of course he's alone. We saw Balaam take him in there and come out again a minute later.
There may be guards.
For what? We're the only danger in the whole ship, and they don't know we're loose. That may change if we don't get a hostage quick.
All right, then we'll move in. Now, let him think we're simulacra at first. He won't know the difference, and we'll stop him from raising the alarm.
We'll make damn funny robots in these old snowsuits.
We'd make funnier ones without them. I try to seem confident, and we'll find out if he's armed.
Confident? What a joke.
May we join you, Counselor?
Intelligent company. How thoughtful of Valen. Please come in.
Thanks, Counselor.
Valen suggested that you might feel a need for conversation. She particularly suggested that we should solicit your views on the forthcoming operation.
All that kind of thing.
But Valen already knows my views. I'd be more interested in yours.
We were especially chosen for our ignorance and interest.
And we've only just been made.
We're your audience, Counselor. Instruct us in whatever you will.
If that's the case, let's forget about the whole operation. I've talked about nothing else all through the debriefing, and it bores me.
As you wish, Counselor.
Tell me what you think of the chambers instead. Valen had them laid out and decorated according to my own design.
The work a real generous like that.
It fulfills a private fantasy of mine. The Sultan in his palace. See the cushions, the carpets, the fabulous drapes. Fine tapestry and marble, indistinguishable from the real thing.
It's very impressive.
As you can see, I've just dined. Feel the weight of those plates.
Heavy.
Solid gold. All the plates and cutlery. There's even a fountain through the archway over there.
A residence fit for a prince, Counselor.
Now, that's not all of it. What's a prince without a harem? Come. They're the early test models of the simulacra. They're rough and simple and they can only obey direct commands. They're of no use to the operation, so Valen gave them to me for my entertainment. I call them my marionettes. Stop! In such obedience is true beauty. For such compliance, I can forgive their rough-hewn lack of grace.
He's sick.
Quiet. I can have them sing, or dance, or make whatever music I choose. When I speak, they listen and applaud. What is your one desire?
To serve you, Marius.
And why?
Because we love you, Marius.
Who could ask for a more faithful and adoring retinue?
We would gladly die for you, Marius.
Turn your heads. See the two men by my table.
We see them.
They mean me harm. If either of them approaches my person, you're to take them and break them in the middle. Is that understood?
Yes, Marius.
What are you talking about? What is this?
Do you think me such a fool, Randall? I don't know how you got out, but Valen told me you were on board. Didn't it even occur to you that I might recognize you?
But we've never met.
I watched you being boxed. I gave the order for the crate to be nailed up and loaded for transportation to the Ice Palace. Sent to me for conversation, indeed. I doubt whether your friend could even string two words together.
What are you going to do?
For the moment, I need do nothing. My children are my protectors. Isn't that so?
Yes, Marius.
Don't be misled because they look like clockwork dolls or they appear slow and clumsy. Move towards me and they'll kill you whether you reach me or not.
They don't look so dangerous.
It speaks. If you doubt me, try it, Ape.
Well, don't try it, Lobo. I think he's telling the truth.
Listen to your friend. He's slightly less stupid than you. I've given a command which can only be overridden by myself or one of the simulacra. And I've got no intention of countermanding it.
We've got nowhere. We're still prisoners. Same as in the cell, same as on the ice.
We are all born to our different destinies. Yours shallow and mean, and mine. Sit on the cushions by the table.
What?
Don't argue. Do as he says.
You can give me the satisfaction of envy and admiration before I consign you to whatever unpleasantness lies in your future. You'll be privileged to witness the skills of my marionettes in the ballet. Come, children. Are you ready to perform for the damned?
Always ready to serve you, Marius.
Music!
I can't watch this. It's horrible. Play along. I've got an idea.
It better be good.
Have you ever seen anything like them? Dance, children. Dance for Marius.
How's your aim?
What do you mean?
We can't go near him, but one of those gold plates could do a lot of damage.
I'm with you. I'll try to reach one without even noticing him.
I hope you'll remember this, Randall. Remember it for the rest of your short life.
How could I ever forget it, Marius?
You couldn't. You couldn't forget Marius and his marionettes.
What a shot.
Nearly took his head off with it. Don't go near.
What do we do now, Marius?
Will they take orders from us?
What now, Marius?
No chance. They won't touch us as long as we don't actually approach Marius. He wasn't literal enough with his instructions.
Marius!
They're like walking corpses.
Now that's what we'll be if we don't get out of here. Now forget about hostages.
Oh, meant to that. Let's go. Stay where you are. You're going nowhere until I've finished with you.
Hunter's Moon was written by Steve Gallagher.